It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena, Mayor Phil Goff, how are you?
Morena, I'm just getting in the Christmas mood, although the weather's sort of dampening the spirits a bit. But hey, good to have some moisture on the gardens and
exactly.
The grass. And yeah, we don't know what sort of summer it's going to be, but if it's a long, hot summer, we'll be looking at the water supply. And so it's good to have a bit of rain.
A bit of rain's good. You do need a little bit of rain.
As long as it doesn't do it on Christmas Day or Boxing
exactly.
Day.
Exactly. Can just hold off for those 2 days, it would be great.
Yeah.
Hey, we've got a few topics to chat to you about this morning. We're going to talk a bit about the bus strike, also about some of the council's emissions targets, and also what people could be doing if they're sticking around Auckland for Christmas time, which is always quite a nice time of the year in the city.
Yeah.
Let's start with talking about the buses. So last week, councillors voted in support of a resolution for more direct involvement in any sort of ongoing potential disputes. What was sort of the impetus behind this, and where's it at the moment?
Well, look, the first thing is we don't want to get involved in direct award negotiations, contract negotiations. That's between the union and the buses. But what we want to make sure is that the contracting model for the bus companies, where we have a competitive tendering system, doesn't result in a race to the bottom so that you're trying to screw down bus drivers' wages and conditions. And I've made my position on that pretty clear. I don't think bus drivers are paid sufficient, and you know there's very clear evidence of that. You're having real trouble retaining and recruiting bus drivers. And when you're doing that, that says, hey, this is a demanding job and you're not paying very generously, and therefore people aren't applying for it. And we're trying to expand our bus services, so we want to make the job more attractive. You know, I think there's a lot of responsibility that goes with driving a bus. We want to pay them fairly. And what we need to do to tackle that, and I've done it already, I've written to the Minister of Transport, because under the public transport operating model, That since 2011 has set out how we allocate the tendering process. And we just want to make sure that the bottom line is we want the bus companies to be competitive, but we don't want to do that at the expense of really appalling working conditions and wages for the bus drivers. They have a split shift, so that means, you know, 4 hours off in the middle of the day, which, you know, doesn't make it very attractive as a job either. So we've started on that. I mean, they are now getting tea breaks, which they weren't getting before. And, you know, everything comes with a price. I think that costs us about $8 million a year. And where does that come from? It either comes from council finance or from the bus fare. But we want to make sure that the wages and working conditions are reasonable. We agreed unanimously. We'd write to the minister. I've done that already. And we're looking for a response from the minister so that we can do the background stuff, what sort of money is available to set the wages fairly and to improve those working conditions. But, you know, some people said, oh, why don't you just get directly involved and mediate in the dispute? That's a pretty futile business. What you're actually telling the two parties is that, you know, local government or government will make the decision and you guys don't have the responsibility. So it's a nuanced position, but it is we have got the bus drivers back. That's good for them and their families. It's good for the commuters. It's good for the city. And we just need to make sure that the pool of money is there so that a fair wage can be paid.
Well, I find it really interesting that a lot of the conversation has been about, I guess, where blame perhaps lies in this situation. And one thing that I think has definitely come up quite a bit is the idea that we have these different private companies running these bus services. And as you were saying, there has to be some sort of autonomy within how they run. But how does the council ensure, I guess, that everybody is being treated fairly under that? As you were saying, you've just outlined some ways there, but are you confident going forward that this is going to be, I guess, easier to ensure that it will be a fairer service for all bus drivers, not just ones who are able to be unionised as well?
Well, I think what everybody agrees on is the bottom line. If you can't recruit bus drivers, that means you're not paying them enough. And the bus companies will agree with that. And then they'll say, but you're screwing us down. We haven't got enough money to pay them more. What we want to say is we'll have money in the kitty so that they can be paid reasonably, but we're going to still hold you to account for running an efficient bus service, because we're not going to pay you out heaps of rate and taxpayers' money if you're not running the most competitive service. So we want them to compete in all those other things, but we don't want to do that at the expense of the drivers who are actually doing the hard work on the ground. And, you know, as I said before, even the companies agree to that, because what does it tell you when you can't find enough people for an increasing bus fleet? Mm. People leave, you know, after a short period of time. They're hard to recruit. So we've got to do something on the wages front. We need to make sure that within the public transport operating model, we've got a way of ensuring that the wages that are paid are fair and reasonable according to the circumstances, but that the bus companies remain competitive in every aspect of the efficiency with which they run their service. That's the line that we're walking.
Well, let's talk a little bit about emissions targets now, because that's also been a big topic this year and will obviously continue to be a big topic because climate change isn't going away anytime soon, especially if we don't take some action on it. So you've outlined plans to cut council emissions by 20%. How's that going to happen, and what sort of are your deadlines or targets for that?
Well, it'll happen over 5 years, and the two big things that we're doing is, one, moving to decarbonise the council's vehicle fleet. So starting next year, we're going to reduce our total fleet number by 230 combustion engine vehicles, and we'll replace another 358 combustion engine vehicles with fully electric vehicles. So what we will do, it'll save about 2,000 tonnes of carbon. It'll reduce our council fleet emissions by about 50%, and it'll cut our total council emissions by 7%. And that comes at a cost. It'll be about $6.3 million. But once we've got the electric vehicles, they're much cheaper to operate than the petrol and the diesel ones, so we get payback quite quickly. The second thing we're doing is that all of our swimming pools, we've got about 20 swimming pools around the city, mm-hmm. Are heated by gas, and gas produces carbon emissions, and we can reduce our heating costs by about 80, our heating emissions by about 81% by converting to electric. So over the 5 years, we'll be converting those swimming pools to electric, and that'll save about 4,000 tonnes of carbon per annum. Those two things by themselves will cut our total emissions from carbon emissions from council by about just under 20%. Next thing we're doing is as I've already announced, we're planting 1.5 million trees, and part of the function of that, they're native trees, they'll green the city, but they'll also act as carbon sinks. And the other money we're putting into the budget is the work we need to do on research and comms to find the best way of value for money to reduce our carbon emissions. We want to become carbon neutral over time as a council, and we're leading by example. So, for example, while our fleet's, mm-hmm. the whole council group's about 1,100, by doing that, we're hoping to encourage other companies to do the same. And if other corporates do the same, then we can make a real impact on carbon emissions in Auckland. And at the same time, when corporates buy electric vehicles, they own them for 2 or 3 years, and then they sell them. So you've got a second-hand market for electric cars that are much cheaper. So those are key things, but you know, the other big things we're doing is trying to encourage people to move to public transport and walking and cycling, and we're making big progress in both of those areas. That's necessary to cut, you know, the 40-45% of carbon emissions that come from road transport, and also having a more compact city. So, you know, if you've got a more compact city, that makes less carbon emissions. And, you know, about a quarter of all our building consents now are for homes, apartments, terrace housings and homes that are within 1,500 metres of a public transport system. So making progress on all of those fronts, but next year with our long-term plan, we're going to have to step that up still further so that we are leading the way in Auckland, and that Auckland is playing its role in making sure that we can meet the targets that the United Nations has set out.
Well, speaking of, we're just going to jump into our third topic before we let you go, Phil Goff, but speaking of pools and buses and things like that, what are some nice things people can do if they're sticking around Auckland for the summer, having a bit of a staycation? It's always a bit quieter around the city across those 2 weeks. What would be some of your hot picks?
Well, the city's a lovely place to be over summer because it's so quiet, but most of us do the traditional Christmas thing in Auckland. We head for the pohutukawa trees and the beaches, and we've got 1,000 beaches to choose between. And that's, I've got a little old-fashioned batch down at O'Reilly Point within Auckland City on the Hauraki Gulf. So I'll be doing a bit of fishing down there, drinking a bit of red wine and all the usual things. I'll also be doing a bit of working on my farm because that gets neglected through the council year. I don't have much time to do that. So just to, move from sitting behind the desk to getting out there and doing fence posts and bringing in the hay and all of that sort of stuff. But there's lots of things happening around the city. Two things that I'll be going to over summer, the ASB Tennis Classic. I'm trying to get into the women's finals for that. That's always a great thing to get to. And Elton John coming early in February.
You're looking forward to that, are you?
Yeah. So those will be my highlights. But, we've got Summer in the Square at Aotea Square. We've got music festivals across the region, including Laneway and the New Year's Eve festival. We've got the Silo Cinema showing free movies every Friday night at Silo Park.
We've got
the Bushwalks upgrading the tracks. So there's lots to do in Auckland. But for all of the listeners of 95FM, hope you have a great Christmas. Hope it's peaceful, joyful, and you get time to spend with friends and family.
Hey, thank you so much for all your time on the show this year, Mayor Phil Gough. We've really appreciated it, and we look forward to chatting to you again next year. And have a lovely Christmas.
And the same to you, Rachel. It's been a pleasure.
Cheers.
Take care.
Merry Christmas. Bye.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Gough. It's